What's up? What's up, beautiful people? How is everybody doing? This is your boy, T.W. Suggs, sending you all types of mad love and dope vibes. And if you don't know already, guess what? You are tuned into the Tommy Talk Show. Oh, you already know how we do. We're sending you all types of dope vibes. Go ahead and move with this music. You know you feel it. Move with the music. Let me see that smile. Yeah, yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Welcome to another episode of the Tommy Talk Show. Again, I'm your host, T.W. Suggs. And before we hop into it, I don't know if somebody's looking at my shirt like, God loves tater tots. What does that mean? Get my book. Get my book. Running Through the Rain. Stories, reflections, and kind reminders. Get my book. It's available on Amazon, everywhere books are sold. Go get the book and you will see why God loves tater tots. So listen, we have a dope show for you all today. Today we're going to be talking about getting back to the heart of God through worship. Getting back to the heart of God through worship. So here's what today's episode is. It's important for us to remain at the heart of God. Unfortunately, life, circumstances, work, family, our schedules, distractions, etc., can distance us and interrupt our relationship with God and move us further away from His heart. As they say, life be lifin'. But when life be lifin', it's easy for us to lose our posture and our closeness with God. In fact, that's when it's most important to anchor ourselves in His presence and get even closer. Some of us may be feeling overwhelmed, afraid, confused, worried about bills, worried about tomorrow, worried about work, or the results from a lab result. You know, the doctor saw a growth and they need to run further tests. You're trying to keep your home out of foreclosure. Your car is in danger of being repossessed. And the worst thing about it is that it may feel like it's coming from all sides. So, my friend, you are tuned into the right place at the right time, because we really want to discuss how do we keep our posture of worship and how do we stay connected to God, especially when life be lifin', when things get hard, when you don't feel like it, when you don't feel like worshiping, when you don't feel like praying, when you don't even feel like being near God. How do we get through those moments? So I have some amazing people that's going to be joining me in these interviews that you do not want to miss. But before we even get started, you know how we do. We'd like to do our birthday shout out. So for birthday shout outs, I just go through my friends list on Instagram and Facebook. And I also ask you all to share with me some of the some birthday shout outs that you may want me to make. And I just compile a list and I'm sharing these birthday shout outs with you today. So here is who we have. We have Brandy Battle. You should know Brandy Battle because she's connected to Studying Never Stops. Her son is the forerunner of that, the owner proprietor of that brand. Brandy, happy birthday. Nikki Waymit, happy birthday, sis. Caleb Nelson, what's up, my friend? Long time no see, no talk. I hope life has been treating you well. Hope you. I heard you're doing some amazing things out there. Janelle Marie McCall, what's up, sis? My old pastor, Larry Daniels, happy birthday, my friend. And then we also have Pastor Rebecca Deloach. And anybody who knows Pastor Rebecca Deloach, you know that she has like a heart for the community. She has the heart for people. She cooks for everybody. She covers everybody. She loves everybody. So happy birthday. We also have some famous folks whose birthday we want to go ahead and shout out as well. We have Quincy Jones, whose birthday is on March 14th. We have Vanessa Williams, March 8th. We have Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. We have Chaka Khan, whose birthday is on March the 23rd. We have Jim Parsons, and anybody who's not familiar with that name, Jim Parsons, he is one of the main actors on The Big Bang Theory and the spinoff of Young Sheldon. I don't know if anybody else watches Young Sheldon, but that is my show. That show is so funny. And we also have one of my favorite directors, Quentin Tarantino. I love his style of directing. So happy birthday to everybody. And here's the other thing that we want to do, too. We ask a community question. We ask a community question. So what is the community question that I asked you all? And then what we're going to do is we're going to pull and we're going to ask these same questions to our guests. All right. So for the community question, we have, what is one food you can't live without? What is one food you cannot live without? So I have some feedback from, and again, I post these on Instagram and Facebook on my page, you know, so be on the lookout for that. TW Suggs. That's the name for both Facebook and Instagram. If you want to get in on these community questions, because I do give you all shout outs. All right. So Antoinette Andrews Powell, she said her the food she cannot do without is butter pecan ice cream. See, that's how I know that you, my sister. And that is how I know you are my sister. Now, see, here's the thing where the divorce will come in. It has to be Breyers. Huh? Okay, Breyers. Then we have Sarah Duncan. She said French fries. And I asked Sarah, I said, okay, that's a big category. So I said, well, whose French fries are the best? I said, Wendy's. I said, McDonald's, or is it somebody else? Sarah went ahead and like gave me like the 1-2 uppercut. She said old school McDonald French fries. I don't know if y'all remember old school McDonald French fries, but those Johns hit. Then we have Adam Shelby, and we also have Marita Pilar, my sis and my bro. And they both just playing out just said chicken. They just said straight up chicken. So listen, we're going it's chicken, yo. I have Scott Stevens in here and I have Bob Sherrill and they are cracking. So it's shit. All right. So wait, I'm going to introduce y'all. What's y'all favorite food? And because I'm going to ask you too. So get ready. So what's y'all favorite food? Y'all are bagging up, y'all.
Oh, my favorite food?
Rice.
Yeah, I love rice.
Okay. All right, cool.
I like chicken too. Wait, so, you know.
That's so broad though, man. Yeah, is it fried? Chicken. Is it barbecue?
No, it's not fried. It's usually barbecued.
Okay. Mm. All right, I can dig it. What part of the chicken?
What part? The thigh.
The thigh? Okay, all right, some dark meat. All right, I can dig it. Yes, indeed. They were cracking up. Pelza, what's the one food you can't do without, brother?
Funny thing is, I'm like Bashir rice. I can eat rice all day.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Like just white rice that has to have something in it, or?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Rice, but rice is simple because rice compensates for anything. Like, because I can deal without, you don't have to, like rice, you throw it in water, you boil it, throw butter in there, a little salt if you want. And I can eat it plain.
Yeah.
Wow. Everything else is more complicated.
Yeah. Okay, I can dig
it. So if the world came to like an apocalyptic mode, and
as long
like
as you have rice,
you eat. As long as we got, because you need water.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You
yeah.
need to be able to heat.
Uh huh.
And if you got rice, I'm good.
You good? I can dig it. Do you put sugar on your rice?
No. No.
I heard people put sugar on their rice.
Yeah, rice pudding.
Okay, rice pudding. I can see that.
Yeah, no.
But not going to touch it. That reminds me of something that Tyree said on The Culture. Shout out Tyree from God of Guns. He said that he puts ketchup on whole beef.
Yeah.
I'm like done with that. And then he put sugar on his grits.
Yeah.
Bro, we love you. But you know, we have to have a conversation after the show. We have to have ketchup a conversation, bro. We can't put ketchup on Hokies. It's not of God. It's not of Him. It's not. I don't see that written in any of the commandments. So listen, y'all. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back, and I'm going to introduce these amazing guests, Scott Stevens and Bashir Hogue. Don't go anywhere. You are tuned into the Tommy Talk Show. We will see you in a couple seconds. What's up, beautiful people? As I said before, you're listening to the Tommy Talk Show. I'm your host, T.W. Suggs, and today we are talking about getting back to the heart of God through worship. Getting back to the heart of God through worship. And like we said before, we just went on break, it's so easy for life to be life in and for us to stay in the posture of worship and to stay in that closeness with God when there's bills, there's rumors of war, there's so much going on. So we wanted to have a conversation on how we can maintain that posture and how we can stay close with God. And with me today, I have Bashir Hogue, and I have Scott Stevens. So Bashir Hogue is an international multi-award winner. He's been all over the place, performed with some of the greats, and I'm so glad that he is here today. He's also the visionary of the Encounter Concert Experience, and we're going to get into that and talk more about that to see what that is and what that looks like and what he's envisioning for that. And then we also have Scott Stevens, my guy. And Scott Stevens is a phenomenal brain behind the keys. He kind of has like this this Maddie Moss Clark way up. Bashir, am I lying? you should have seen my producer keep up. Scott does not play when it comes to notes, when it comes to sound. But I think that's because of who you are prophetically as well, because sound, especially for people who are prophetic, it matters, right? So we have Scott Stevens in here. He's been all over the place playing, teaching, working with groups all over the place to go ahead and make sure that they produce a sound that, you know, resonates with God. And if they don't, he throws shoes. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He's like, no, he doesn't. Welcome, Bashir, and welcome, Scott.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. How y'all feeling today?
Good.
Awesome.
Good?
Yes.
Good. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Before we went on break, we heard about, you know, your favorite foods and whatnot, and your rice any kind of way.
Rice-a-roni
treats. Rice-a-roni. No, too much. That's how the church mothers turn everything. into a hymn with a heavy vibrato. They will do it every time. And Scott, his favorite food is chicken, but primarily barbecue, and it's barbecue. The thigh.
Yes.
All right. So, gentlemen, we're here today to talk about getting back to the heart of God through worship. Right. And we're going to talk about the Encounter Concert because that fits into this conversation. But I want to talk to you. What do you think is happening in the world and our lives that's kind of causing us to drift a bit from the heart of God? And let me say this too. And it may just be me and my perspective or in my perception, but that's just kind of what I feel. And it sometimes feels like entertainment sometimes takes the place of, it'll have the same sound, but it's not the same. I don't want to say feel, but it's not always, I just feel like there's starting to be like a swap. Right. So do you see us drifting from the heart of God as the people of God, you know, in terms of worship? And if so, what do you think are some of the contributing factors that's causing that?
I feel as though people should recognize that when we come to God, we bring all of who we are. You know, to be effective, we have to be present in the moment with God and just bring anything.
Yeah.
Everything, all of us,
yeah.
Everything we are, everything we're not, and just lay it before God, lay ourselves before God. I think social media and where we are, it just impacts in particular younger folks.
Yes, sir.
It has a great impact on identity.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the younger generation, they want to identify with what is cool or what is, you know, the latest trends.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I feel. It's just, again, bringing all we are to God.
Yeah.
And knowing that worship is really warfare.
Yeah.
But then we have to understand that we have the victory already.
Yes, sir. So, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. What about you, Bashir?
I agree with Scott, Mr. Scott. Because, I mean, worship is like an everyday thing. It's not a church fix where many want that fix, you know, because it's like, well, all week long I did my thing. I did this. So church is going to make sure I am satisfied. I'm cool for the week.
Yeah.
So it's like those that are not a Catholic don't have to go to the father, you know, go to the priest and say, hey, I sinned. You know, they just go to church and say, you know what? I can hear the preacher say that God forgive me. He loves me and I'm cool. You know, I guess without realizing that, you know, worship is a everyday thing.
Yeah.
You know, worship is something that you without praise, that's what you do.
Yeah.
It sounds weird, but you don't, you know, without praising God, worship is something that you just walk, you're just walking down the street and somebody notice like, oh, you know what? You're different because you worship God. Anything that you worship, you will give attention to the most.
Yeah.
So if you wake up in the morning, the first thing you turn on is your phone. Without saying, God, I thank you for waking me up, you know, then that's what you worship.
Wow.
You know, I've as Scott was saying, that social media has a big influence on a lot of people, not just young people, but older people too. They may not be tech savvy, but you know, like for instance, my mom, she'll call me like, did you know, she'll say like, what's her name? Martha Gibbs, the lady from, what's her name?
227.
Marla Gibbs. Now she's not deceased, but she'll call me and say she's deceased. And I said, where you get that from? YouTube. So, you know, if I say that to say that social media is a big influence, and it's always good to, you know, I tell people a lot sometimes, you know, you can live in a fantasy world through social media. Even with God, you can live in a fantasy world thinking that you are saved. You know, because of what you were told on social media. You know what? And we have a lot of preaspreachers, you know, not to cast persons on them, but you have a lot of people who are now have their church set up, you know, their worship services set up on social media where you don't even have to go to church where the Bible says, forsake not yourselves with the assembly. So that way, because iron sharpens iron for that purpose, you know. But I do believe that, you know, was exactly what Scott said, you know, we had to bring our whole selves to God, you know, saying this is who I am.
Yeah.
You know, I did a lot of stuff. You already know that, but this is who I am. So you can take me and use me however you choose to use me.
Yeah.
You know, because we'll say, well, God, I do want you to use me, but can you not do this? And can you not do this? And we can't carve out our own healing through worship. We have to actually take the healing when it comes, you know? So yeah, I agree.
Wow. There was a few things that you both just shared. One of the things that really resonated with
me, because I didn't know where it was going, I was going to start. I was like,
Scott. Like, okay, I guess I'm on. One of the things that I think that is missing in our worship experience is us. You both said that it's so important to bring our whole selves. And I feel that in our worship experience, and then you tied in social media, because if you look at social media, the social media thrives on the idea of perfection. I'm gonna put these filters on to look more perfect.
Wow.
Because perfection, or the idea of it, the camouflage of it, has become our culture and our norm.
Yeah.
And now what's starting to happen, at least from my perspective, is we're starting to show up and worship experiences with filters. And the Lord is like, I want to see your cracks, take off all the filters. I want to see your crevices. I want to see your moles. I want to see everything that's going on in your heart so that I can connect with you, so that I can, so that you can really worship.
Yeah.
You know, so the other thing that you all shared was just the how worship is an everyday lifestyle and not just a moment. Can you both talk more about that? What is an everyday worship lifestyle, and what does that look like?
Scott. Well, I would start by saying it is a discipline. Like, prayer is even a discipline. Prayer is work too, which is why you know, a lot of people don't pray.
Yes, sir.
We go to Sunday services a lot of times to see emotionalism. You know what I mean? And we don't feel like we've had church unless there's a shout.
Wow.
Or the musicians have done the latest praise break or whatever it is.
Wow.
But the worship, again, as a lifestyle, it begins at home.
Yeah.
Mm. It's just a time you set aside, like, God, wake me up at this time in the morning.
Wow.
And let it just be me and you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is what enriches or enhances our experiences when we come together.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's just a true power of God when we begin it at home.
Yeah.
You know, the scripture says what? Charity begins at home.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Like, we have to start there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Tell me a question. No, listen, I heard it. It's just that when he was, I was kind of thinking. So when somebody says something, I start imagining, imagining what they're saying.
So what did you see?
Oh, I saw myself like asking God, like setting times to, you know, not saying that I don't do it.
Yeah.
I do it. But just saying that, you know, setting times where, okay, God, I'm going to meet you at this time. I'll meet you at this time. You know, I'm going to discipline myself to meet. Yeah. I saw my, you know,
yeah.
I always imagine certain things like that.
That's dope. That's dope. I also think in pictures and colors as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, the question, so, what does everyday worship look like for you?
Including God in everything I do. Well, not everything, but I include Him in the things that that will help me spiritually.
Okay,
because this flesh ain't gonna do nothing.
Yeah,
you know. So that will help me spiritually, and that I'm able to control my responses.
Okay,
my reactions. Because I ask God that now, you know, and even in worship, I'll say, God, you know, I have it, you know, I don't have it as bad as I used to have. It's got new. But like, man, I used to be crazy. But.
Yes, sir.
So, but.
Amen.
Amen to that. So, yes, you were right on with that one. You hit the note. But no, so in growing in God and worship, he teaches you discipline. Mm. Like Scott was saying, with you.
Yeah.
You know, with your mouth, with your how you think.
Wow.
And how you, you know, even just like react to people, you know, because everybody not saved. Just because they are in the church and they're doing certain things, they're not, you know, and what I mean by saved is that they don't, you know, they know of God, but they don't have Him in Him. Meaning like I know, for instance, if I hang with you or you, I'm going to start looking like you. If I hang with you more and more and more. So if I start hanging with God, certain attributes are going to come out. Like, you know what? No, I'm cool. I don't want to be in that.
Yeah.
You know, and it may deter some people away from you because it's like, no, I'm good. So all of that basically comes the result of worship on a daily, everyday life discipline, as Scott mentioned, the word discipline. And that's a good word because it is.
Wow. That's excellent. Especially so, just for people who may have missed that, there is an aspect of worship that is very practical, right? It does involve discipline, and not only does it involve discipline, and here's the thing: when we're dealing with discipline, it means maturing in such a way that I position myself to do something that I may not want to do.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. I may not want to wake up that early in the morning, but discipline. Mm-hmm. God, I value you more.
Mm.
That's the heart of worship. Before I even do the prayer, the heart is one of the postures where it's like, God, I value you more to even wake up to get ready to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel, I'm going to cross the street real quick. I just feel like somebody who's listening right now, I just want to let you know that God loves you right where you are.
Yeah.
You've been waiting. You've been lied to by church that there is that you have to be perfect or that you have to do this and that for Him to love you where you are. Yes, there is holiness, but He loves you right there where you are. And we can do nothing separate from Him. So with wherever you are, whether you got the needle in your vein, whether it's suicidal ideations, wherever you are in your life, He loves you right where you are. Don't wait to get perfect or wait to try to clean yourself up before you come back to Him. Whatever coming back to Him looks like for you. All right. Let me ask this question. So one of the things that I really wanted the people to leave with is, not just the practicality of worship, but also the and the discipline of it, which ties into this next question, which is how do you maintain your posture during hard times? How do you maintain a posture? And I'm not just saying, oh, well, you got to read your word and this, that, and the third, and that's good, you know, or, you know, well, you got to do this and that's good. But for you both, when you think about the hard times that you both have been in, what pulled you through or what helped you keep that posture? So during that hard time, you kept that posture of worship.
There was a there's a young lad, and I'm gonna say lad because I think the Bible calls it lad. That the boy was blind, and the Pharisees, I believe, and the people started asking him, how are you able to see and stuff like that? And he's like, you know, because they were saying, well, Jesus did blah blah blah. Jesus did it. You sure Jesus did it? He's like, I don't know who he is, but all I know, I was blind.
Yeah,
and I can see.
Yeah,
so I'll take that to say that I don't know. I do. I know, but I don't know how it happened. Like, I know God did it.
Yeah.
Like, meaning he allowed my posture to be towards him even through the storms.
Yeah.
But I don't know how he did it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Got you.
And some people may say, oh, no, he did it this way. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just know that I'm here. I do know that because of the posture, and my posture most of the time is just praise, you know? Because or what he did, you know, and who he is. But now it's more so who he is, because now I already know what he can do.
Yeah.
And then when you get past, I guess when we get past what we know he can do, is now I'm a praise you because of who you are.
Yeah.
I ain't really got to ask you for a lot, you know, because I already know you can do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's would be my part. Yeah. Did I answer?
You did. Okay. You did. Yeah, that was very helpful.
Yeah.
Scott got the squinty eyes and he got the deep face. He's like, You about to talk in tongues in the mic.
Wouldn't the how be part of his grace towards us? Like his mercy. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes we approach God, how does the scriptures say? Like with works.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Lest we should boast. Wow. You know what I'm saying? Like I just feel like we are predestined. Even in our go through, like he knew it.
Yeah.
You know, and the enemy doesn't want us to know that.
Wow.
The That's enemy good. Likes I like that. To put the nail in what he feels is our coffin.
Yeah.
But however, there's always a resurrection, and it's through grace. If I'm making any sense at all.
I like that. Yes.
But I just feel like it's all about how God graces us.
Yeah.
To do you know,
I like
he'll
that.
Allow us to go but so far.
Yeah.
But this is where assembling ourselves, especially under a man or woman of God.
Yeah.
Who is a real man or woman of God. I feel like as we're sitting in services or whatever we're doing, even if you are streaming your service, I feel like God will drop a word in us.
Yeah.
And pulls us back in.
Yeah.
And it helps us to maintain the posture.
I like that.
Wow. So just without you both even knowing it, you both just provided kind of like a quick 3 to 5 point list on how people can get through or how they can maintain the posture of worship during hard times. Mm, and one of the things we discussed was discipline, right? There is a certain level during hard times, there is a certain level of discipline that's necessary to continue to move you forward, even when you don't feel like it. Mm-hmm. But then, Bashir, you mentioned, you know, just intention, where it's like, you know, I'm gonna wake up in the morning and I'm gonna I'm gonna do this. Mm-hmm. So it's also just it's like a resolve within yourself, which ties into discipline. And then the other thing you shared was about leadership. Solid leadership is a covering, right? Who speaks into your spirit matters, right? So even in there, and then the last thing that you shared, Scott, was the word. You said that while leaders are sharing and while they're speaking, something can go ahead and prick you in your spirit. Go ahead, B. I see you.
You know something? I think also like as you were saying, as you guys was talking about the leadership, because that's very important. I think sometimes people think that leadership is just what it is, leadership, and not the work of leadership. So, like, I can see you in a position, but the work is different than seeing you in the position. You know what I mean? And I, you know, not my church, but I do see people in positions and they just don't do the work. But not my church. Not Golden Star.
Just to be clear.
not Golden Star, Baptist Church in North Philly. But no, I say that to say that we have, I think also worship can be missing from your life as far as the church is concerned, is because we have developed customers in church rather than members. And customers, they can tell you what they want to buy. You know, they can tell you what they want to buy in reference to, no, I want to buy that. That's cool. I'll go to another church where I can buy that. And basically when they sell it to me, I'm cool. And what I mean by that, so what that has developed is, the result of that is a boss rather than a leader.
Yeah.
Because I can boss you from the office, but you a leader, I have to see you.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that was so great when you touched on that, because leadership is very important in where you're going in reference to your church and worship and all the other stuff is very important. So, that was good. That was thank you for that.
Wow. There's a few directions I want to go in. I definitely want us to talk about I want us to talk about the encounter. We're going to talk about that. Because I really wanted, because the theme this year is absolutely bananas, right? And how that ties into worship. I think that's super dope, right? But let me ask you a question. It feels that sometimes culturally we don't see a lot of men worship. What do you think the barrier is there? What do you think is going on? Scott? Back to you, Scott.
Excuse me. I just feel like with worship, there's a vulnerability. You know what I mean? There's just a vulnerability about it.
Yeah.
And I think just in our culture, a lot of times, you know, African-American, black men, you know, we're told, oh, you don't cry, you know, as as a boy, or, you know, like you have to take a certain stance. So I think that might be it, which goes back to something I was saying earlier. I think it's identity.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like people, it's what folks want to identify with.
Yeah.
I heard somebody recently say, you know, the church makes you weak. I heard that just very recently.
Wow.
You know, I don't ascribe to that. I feel like the church makes us powerful.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
So I just think it's the vulnerability piece
that
keeps you men away.
You hit it. That word vulnerability is a scary feeling for anybody. Especially for men. You know, my son, I you know, until he got maybe like 14, I stopped hugging him and kissing him and stuff like that. And people was like, you kissing on that boy? That's my son. What you talking about? You know, and one lady, she's like, I'm going to tell. Go ahead. You know, but.
They were church people?
I don't know what they were. But the thing was, though, I told him, you know, I said, you know, when you, because he's a Muslim now, which is fine. But he was in the church with me a few times and he was like, he phony. I said, how do you know that? You know, and he's like, because he is. And I said, well, how you know? He looked at it, he rushed it, raising his hands to a fake God and stuff like that. And I don't know where he got that from because, you know, growing up with my mom and me is different, you know. But Scott hit it on a nail when he said a vulnerability, because my son had to learn vulnerability through me, through other people. And it's nothing wrong with crying before God. You know, I used to be, when I was younger, I used to be called this holy roller, you know, this, you know, he always crying before God. He always, and I was, because I didn't know me, you know, I didn't know me before God. So I was like, God, I don't know what's going on. But the times I would feel God, you know, and God is real, whether people believe it or not.
Yes, he is.
You know, he's definitely real. But the vulnerability piece, and that's in any relationship. If you, if your men are even not taught to feel vulnerability with their spouses or their, you know, with their, you know, person they're married to. I mean, you know, person they're with, even not married. Especially black men. We're not taught that. Because it's like, you know, you be the man in the relationship. You make sure you tell her what to do.
Yeah.
You know, and now we have it reversed where the women are more stronger in reference to showing their masculinity, you know, if I can say that, in church.
Yeah.
You know, like, I am the bishop. You know, it's nothing wrong with you being a bishop as a woman. You know, I don't subscribe to it. But it's, you know, it's just that, you know, I am the bishop and that's my husband. I've seen that, you know, where the woman was the bishop and the husband sitting over there like, well, I'm just going to here. And if she got a bill to be paid, I'll pay it. And that's what we are seeing. So the man, basically, especially in the world, you know, it's like, you know, no, don't cry. I saw this guy tell this young boy, he was 7 years old. You know, because he was talking, you know, well, he hit me first and stuff like that. And that's how he was talking. He was like, don't sound like that. Talk to me like a man. What's going on? I turned around. I said, that's not a man. I said, he's going to talk to you exactly the way he's supposed to talk to you. I said, him right there. I said, that is, that's pure. And I said, if you don't teach him how to actually, you know, say what he needs to say, but don't change him right now, you know, so that vulnerability piece, that word, I always subscribe to that word because it gets you to a place of knowing who you are.
Yeah.
You know, it really does. So yeah, I thank you for that. You are hitting the day, Jesus. You want to sit here?
No, go. Something that that resonates with me that I feel that both of you touch on, we're the connection between vulnerability. Let me take this back. The connection between the idea of being a man, vulnerability, and fatherhood. And sometimes it's the father saying, you know, like, you know what you were saying before, like, stop crying, stop doing this, stop doing that. You know what I mean? Fatherhood matters.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you have a young man who didn't have his father around, fatherhood matters because it's by that man who shows you, here is the way.
Yeah.
Here is, you can still have your strength, but here's how you couple it with vulnerability.
Yeah.
Here's how you couple it with being a human and an actual being. I feel this part again, maybe for somebody who's listening but I feel that fatherhood matters in worship. There's a connection between fatherhood and worship. And for somebody who's listening, who didn't have that father figure or who may be struggling, especially if you're a man of color, maybe struggling with that level of vulnerability, you do have a father. You do have a father who can teach you and heal you. Because it's hard to be vulnerable when you're broken, when you're not shown, and when you're not allowed to express the complexity of your being.
And you know, so even with that, what happens is, especially with our men, because they've been broken and because they've been, you know, ostracized and a whole lot of stuff happened to them, they replace it with physical affection.
Yes,
so
they do.
It's like, if I've been abused by my father and I have not been shown what true vulnerability is, and I've been abused by this woman or this person or this person, you know, I'm going to look for it in physical affection. So it's most of the times replaced because they're looking for something. You know, so I'm sorry, that word is kind of.
Yeah, that's real. It's and honestly, what it is replacing with physical affection. Just from what you shared with Landon, for me, is there's still a search for connection. Right. And you haven't been able to pinpoint what I need to connect with to bring fulfillment or to bring wholeness, not realizing that that connection that's missing is the connection with God, our Father. You know, so wow, thank you both. Let's cross the street real quick. I want to talk about the Encounter. All right. So Scott is the MD for the Encounter. Bashir is the leader and the visionary behind the Encounter. So talk to me about what is, and this is the Encounter Experience Part 2. Yeah. Right. So talk to me about what is the encounter, and what is the theme, and just talk to us about the encounter.
All right. So the word itself is explanatory in reference to just encountering God. Mm. It's not as deep as some people made it seem to me. Like, mm-hmm. Oh no, so we just gonna lay before I knew you can lay if you want to. I'm not laying nowhere. But I think that, I don't think, but I know that when God gave me the vision for the first one, and he told me who to invite, you know, and what to do and stuff like that, I wrote it down and I said, okay, this is what you want me to do. You got to provide everything, you know, because I don't know what to do, who to go to. And then all of a sudden he started showing me stuff, you know, in my dreams and visions while I was in church, and he showed me Scott. As the MD, there were other people who already came to me before, because what happened was basically, you know, somebody said, well, you know, I could play, you know, and I said, well, nah, I said, I don't see you. And that, I don't know if that sounds cold, but it's like, I don't see you for this, you know, and it was like, you don't. But I mean, I got, you know, my man, you know, Manny. I don't see Manny. I don't see none of y'all. And it was like, all right, cool. But I saw Scott. So in that, because you always need more so, you know, somebody else to, it's called like a shared vision.
Yeah.
You know, you need somebody to basically share the vision. So when God gave it to me, he said, I'm going to give you themes for it. You know, he didn't say things, but the Spirit of the Lord said, I'm gonna give you things. But it was more so like, you know, I'm gonna give you Isaiah 6:1 for the first one. I saw the Lord. All of these, you know, the things that were given back then was because God wanted, you know, us rather than us seeing, you know, what we you know, uplift, you know, as far as idols. The second one that's approaching is much more challenging than the first one. This encounter, as I said before, is called encounter because it's self-explanatory in reference to connecting with God as a whole. This one was more so difficult because I didn't get the theme yet. Usually I would, I got a fast last time. Okay, cool. I got it. God was like, all right, I'm gonna give you this. This time it took a while, you know? And I said, God, you must don't want me to do it because you haven't given me anything. And I was sitting down watching something, and somebody talked about, you know, well, in the beginning, God created. And I was like, cool. And then I went to prayer. And I said, well, God, you did create everything, you know, the light and stuff like that. And so I studied it. And then I heard God say, just call it Genesis. And what we was going to take it from is just Genesis 1, to we'll stop at the second chapter. And as I explained it to Golden Star, the reason why it was called Genesis is because, yes, in the beginning, God created us, you know, created the heavens and the earth. And out of that, he formed us through the image of him. Which means that he wanted something to praise him.
Yeah.
He wanted something to give him worship, you know, because he was God. He was bumping into himself. He didn't see us. I mean, he saw us predestined, as, you know, Scott mentioned, but okay, I need some physical people praising me. I need somebody talking to me, talking back to me. I hear the angels. I already hear them, but I need some other people. I want to, you know, I want somebody to give me praise. And for you to be God and say, I want somebody to give me praise, I'm going to create you just to give me praise, to honor me, to worship me. That's all. I want a relationship with. That's all I want.
Yeah.
You know, so out of that, you know, that's where this concert comes in at.
Okay.
And the people that are on it is who God told me to bring on it. So it was a select, some people that I wanted to bring on it from last year to this one, God was like, no, I want you to bring totally different people, but I want you to keep the core people, Scott, you know, and, you know, certain people in reference to yourself and just other people, because that's the way he wanted it. And there were times people wanted me to say, hey, you know, do it this way and do it. And I mean, these are people who see, you know, they was like, do it this way and do it. And I said, I can't. God said, do it this way. He said, sing these particular songs, do it like this, have it this way, you know, because I don't want people to leave. We say that a lot, you know, you come in one way, you're going to leave out the same. You probably still will leave out the same. Because we don't change that quickly. And what I realized is that even, you know, we say that a lot for concerts or just, you know, events, we don't change that quickly, you know? So I don't say that anymore to people. You may still leave out the same, but a seed was planted so that you don't have to, you know, have to stay the same, you know? So that is my vision for that and for families to come together.
Okay.
Yeah. More so families to come together. So yeah, that's, yeah. I know I said
that. No, that was good. So as we're talking about worship and getting back to the heart of God through worship, you touched on Genesis and the theme for the encounter, you know, which is Genesis 1, right? And it's really dealing with how God created Adam and Eve for the purpose of worship, right? So that right there is the epitome of getting back to God.
Yeah.
And even that to me just surfaces the idea that Adam and Eve, they were naked before him. We're getting back to that point of vulnerability.
Yeah. Wow.
And the relationship when it was tampered with, there was hiding. Right, they hid behind the leaves of the tree. They sewn together some stuff for themselves to cover up their private parts, the parts that were private to them that God still wanted access to. Right, and I think that reflects what goes on in our hearts and in our lives. You know, there are parts of us that God is like, I want access to that thing you're covering. I want access to that thing that you think is ugly. Yeah. I want access to that thing that you think may have a weird shape. I want access to that area of your life. And a lot of times in our worship experiences, we're like, God, you can see my shoulder. You can see my elbow. You can see my forehead. And God is like, okay, that's good. Thank you for bringing that to me.
Yeah.
But what about the deeper areas of your life? What about your heart? What about what's going on in your spirit? I'm not just the God of forehead and elbows and shoulders. I'm not just a God of when you're feeling good. And I'm a God of your depression. I'm a God of when you feel like you don't have it together. Yeah. I'm a God when you feel confused. I am that God. And if you don't invite me into that space, even the word of God says, his grace is sufficient and his strength is made perfect when we're weak in our weakness. But if we're not willing to own up to that weakness, then his strength will not be perfected in our lives. Mm-hmm. So we have about like 5-6 more minutes. Bashir, how can people get tickets to the concert? When is the concert? You know, where is it going to be held? Can you give us that information, bro?
Yeah. Tickets for the concert is on Eventbrite. So you can go to Eventbrite. Tap in the Encounter concert. It don't say experience. We change it to experience. But it's the Encounter Concert 2.
Okay.
With the number 2. Tap that and then it'll come up so you can get tickets. We are sold out of VIP. So you can't get VIP anymore.
You can't get VIP, y'all.
Even those that y'all, some of those that called me and said, I just want a special
hook up
if you can, brother. And I'm saying, no, I can't do that for you. Why are you whispering?
I'm a whisper this right back to you.
We can't do that for you. God bless you. So yeah, but that's really how you. Oh, it's at Golden Star Baptist Church. Golden Star is not a Chinese place. Somebody was like, Golden Star, that's a Chinese store? No, it's a church. That's my church. So yeah, but yeah, that's where it is. Golden Star Baptist Church, 36, 34. I'm sorry. What is it?
1536, the address?
Yeah.
1536, I believe so.
You don't even go to my church, you know it. 1536 North 27th Street. So yeah, that's where it is. Start at 6:30. So that's where it is.
All right, what day? What day?
Oh, March the 23rd, 2024.
At
6:30.
Excellent.
So if you do have tickets, my suggestion is still that you get there early.
Yeah. I agree. I agree. So let me ask y'all a question. So we're almost at time. Is there anything else that that you all want to share regarding worship or any thoughts? Because y'all brought so much richness to this conversation. I don't want to leave anything on the table. I want y'all to be like, look, just one more thing has been itching in my heart. I want to say this real quick, you know, for like 10 seconds, 20 seconds or y'all. Scott.
People just need to know who God is.
Yes, sir.
Like, this is the season. Mm. People need to know him desperately.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you both, Bashir Hogue. Thank you so much, Scott Stevens. Yes, I appreciate you both for coming into the studio and just, well, you already know this is home. You know. But thank you so much. Big shout out to our producer, Keith Pelzer. Woo-hoo. Listen,
Grammy Award.
Huh? But
he didn't move. Grammy.
He doing his job.
He still got to move his head. He didn't move his head.
So I want to do something a little different. And I haven't done this in a while. And I definitely want to I want to time myself. So I'm not going over.
I am not dancing on no table.
No, that's not what we're going to ask you to do. What, Puzzle, how much time we have left, man?
3 minutes.
3 minutes? Okay, good. So I'm going to set my counter for two. All right. So we spoke about getting back to God getting back to the heart of God through worship. And I don't know. I just feel like I just want to pray for somebody that's out there right now. So if you're listening right now, I just want to pray with you. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what's going on in your heart. Don't know what's going on in your marriage or in your household, but I want to pray for you. So God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your spirit. God, somebody's listening right now who just needs hope. Somebody needs strength. Somebody feels weak. Somebody feels lost. Somebody feels discouraged. Somebody feels like they're right between a rock and a hard place, and somebody is right there at the end of the ledge, and you don't know what to do. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, for you to cover them, their minds, their hearts, lead them, guide them back to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you're watching and you never accepted the Lord as your Savior, I want to let you know that we are all born in sin. But thank God for Jesus Christ who shed his blood for our sins. So if you never accepted Christ into your heart, I want to say a quick prayer with you and just repeat after me. Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I was born in sin, but I believe that Jesus Christ, who is your Son, died on the cross for my sins and shed his blood. And because of it, if I accept him, I am saved. Jesus, I invite you in my heart to be my Lord, my Savior, and my Master. Save me now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, my brother, my sister, you are saved. So listen, that's it for the Tommy Talk Show. I'm your host, T.W. Suggs. As you know, sending you all types of mad love and dope vibes. We are at the Combos Lounge, and our producer and our engineer is the Grammy Award winner, Keith Pelzer. We are also a part of P3 Christian Radio and affiliated with the Culture Talk Show, which is we have the host right here, Bashir Hogue. You can check us out at www.twsuggs.com, or you can go on YouTube to find this video here or anywhere else. To look us up. All right. I love you all. Stay dope. Stay blessed. Peace.